Towards the end of the last year, we had a chance to open the sugya of Krovim. And so last time, the Mishnah talks about the fact that there's no issur yichud between one's mother or one's daughter, or between mother and son. There's issur yichud between father and daughter, there's no issur yichud. And the Gemara has a discussion, so that Shulchan Aruch quotes that, it's an opening din. Simcha Beis Sif Aleph, according to the Rambam, no issur yichud between mother and son, or issur yichud between father and daughter. And we saw that what the Shulchan Aruch does not quote, what the Rambam does not quote, is the Gemara's extension and expansion of this on Pei Aleph on the Beis, where the Gemara says that the Amora, Rav Yehuda, quoted from the Amora of Asi, that there's also a heter yichud with Achoso. Gemara there says that with between parents and children, even long term is with her. Even dira with between brother and sister, temporary yichud is mutter, but dira is asa. So that raised a number of questions. One question was, well, what exactly is this dira versus yichud? I believe that we discussed last time. Yes, no, maybe. Okay, so we'll have to come back to that. Another question is, well, why is it missing from the Shulchan Aruch? And the Gemara pay off on the base, it's not the Shulchan Aruch. Third question is, where does all of this come from? So step by step, when the Gemara talks about the Yichud as opposed to Dira, so there are a number of approaches in posting what is the magic number, that at what point in time, how many days, how many weeks, at what point in time do you say this is no longer temporary Yichud, this is permanent Dira? So there are different approaches in posting. Some say 3 days. Some say, I think the Meir Arik says 30 days, if I remember correctly. Maybe Rosh Hashanah says 30 days. I think the Meir Arik says 30 days. There's one Bava Basar, may remember that for many years of Halacha, the definition of Koshav is one who lives somewhere for 30 days. Not only for the rules of Tzedakah, but even for Dinim, other Dinim Daraisa like Yeron Adachas. Toshav, a resident, is someone who's there for 30 days. So that's the time that Chacham said yes, and maybe that's the difference between Yichud and Dira. Dira is 30 days. And then I believe it's from Moshe Feinstein, who argues that there is no, that you're asking the question, is improperly formatted. It's not an absolute sheer of time, no constant number, 3 days, 30 days. There is no magic number. It's all contextual. It depends, in this context, for how long would a guest stay. In other words, you might go to a friend for Shabbos. You go to from Bergenfield to Riverdale. You go from Queens to Hempstead, whatever it is. Now you go to Edison, to Island Park, Bahula. You go to a friend for Shabbos and you stay for a night. You stay for 2 nights. That's pretty standard. If you were going to a friend across country, so then it would be entirely typical to stay as a guest, as a friend, for half a week. If you fly out to California, you might spend half a week a week. Going to a friend who lives 10 miles away, it would be atypical to just go to a friend for a week. Maybe in some circumstances. But typically, you go to a friend, nearby friend, you go for a night or two. Going further away, longer. If you're going from the United States to visit people, friends, family in South Africa or in Australia, it would be typical to go for weeks at a time because the flight itself is a real investment. The flight itself is at least 24 hours each way. So when you go to, probably a trip you're going to make once every couple of years if you know someone there. So when you're going, you're staying for a couple of weeks. So I think it's from Moshe Feinstein who says, that's exactly how we determine what's called yichud and what's called dira. In this context, the extent to which a guest would stay, the outer limit that will be typical for guests to say, that's still not dira. That's yichud. But if you're staying for longer than that, you're staying here, you're living here. Again, it depends for where you're coming. If you're staying by your sister, if you're coming to the United States, staying by your sister in Johannesburg, so then it's merely yichud, to stay for 3 weeks. To stay for 3 months is already here. But if you're just, you know, if she lives 10 miles away, so then to stay for a week is already going to be Dira as opposed to Yuchas. That's in terms of definition. What's the Gemara even saying? But that question is, well, do we accept this for halachas? I think that we did touch on last time. The Rambam and Shulchan Aruch don't mention any heter of a sister. And then we saw the Nosa Kalim point out that the Rambam seems to have not understood that the Machlok, I mean, the Gemara has a Machlok as Amoraim, and it's the simple reading of the Mishnah doesn't only mentions Imo and Vito, not Achoso. So while it might be true that Rav Yehuda, B'Shem Rav Asi understand that those are examples, and Achoso is included as well, but the Rambam did Rambam pass like the other Amoraim, at least with regards to Achoso, so that becomes a Machlokas. Perhaps Ashkenazim and Sfarim, we've got to figure out how Sfarim possible in Halacha. But the Mechaber, the Ram of the Mechaber, Ram of the Shulchan Aruch, do not quote the Heter Achosa whatsoever. But the classic Nosei Ashkenazi, Nosei Kehan on the side, the classic Mahalagik, and the Beis Shmuel quote that the Rosh disagreed with the Rambam, and the Rosh did quote the Heter of Achosa. Again, they said that Heter of Achosa is limited, it's not forever. Let's say if a Kulam lo Pligi, that if brother and sister come from out of the New York area, and he's going to be in NYU and she's going to be in Stern, or going to be precise, he's going to be in the Wilf campus, she's going to be in the Barron campus, so it's a little lonely, they're far from home, so if they have a Havim, maybe we should, we'll rent an apartment together on the west side, it'll be equidistant, and he'll go north every day, she goes south every day, so that'll be a violation, because now we have an apartment for 3 months together, that's a violation of Dira, even according to Ashkenazim, even according to Yehuda Maravasi, that's already dear. But to stay for a night or two, again, after very exactly how long, that's a discussion, that's showing for Ashkenazi poskim who follow the Rosh, that would be mutter. Then there's a larger question of where does any of this come from at all? This whole notion that there's no Isser Yichud with relatives, that the Gemara appears to say that it's rooted in the whole Isser Yichud to begin with, is rooted in a drasha of Ben Imo, that there's no Isser Yichud between a son and a mother. So the question is, okay, so the Torah says no Isser Yichud between a son and a mother. As opposed to any other scenario, the other arayos, where there would be an Isser Yichud. So who told the Tanaim that the father and daughter is no Isser Yichud? Who told some of the Amoraim, at least, or some of the Tanaim, perhaps, that there's no Isser Yichud between, no temporary Isser Yichud between a brother and sister? Or as we said, the Bach, his Chachua quotes in the Bach that the Heter also applies to grandparents and grandchildren, to great-grandparents and great-grandchildren. Where does it all come from? So that's what the Kalim point out, the Poskim point out, that's rooted, and Chachua's Tosa Rush already develops this, that's rooted in Gemara in Yuma, developed deep in Masechus Yuma, developed based on the mysterious Psukim in Zechariah. Mysterious Pesukim Zahar has a lot of mysterious enigmatic visions and stories and episodes. So one of them is that Zahar has a vision of this mysterious creature, and they're subduing this mysterious creature. So what's that all about? Subduing back and forth, it gets out, it gets put back in. What's that all about? So Gemara explains that during the period, the end of the Gaul's Babel, the beginning of the Bayesheni period, which was the period of Zechariah and Avin, so the Sanhedrin davened, the Nebuah was ending, and they davened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first base of Mitzvah had been destroyed in large part because Jews had succumbed to the Taiva for Avodah Zarah. The Sanhedrin actually davened HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should remove the Taiva for Avodah Zarah. If you learn Nevi'im, Rishonim, both Nevi'im and Rishonim, where you hear about the stories in Achronim, where you hear about the Musar Shmuzim, but in both, Avodah Zarah is a major focus. Throughout the period of the Bayis Rishon, the Jews struggled greatly with the Taiva for Avodah Zarah. You can go to the museum and see, go to the Jewish museum, they'll show you exhibits of Jewish Avodah Zarahs that archaeologists have uncovered. Hundreds, thousands of Jewish Avodah Zarahs. Jews, unfortunately, it was rampant. The Jewish Museum gives their own at the course of Shatwis, they say, oh, this was Judaism during the Bayis Rishon period. That's false. This is what the Averus that many Jews did during the Bayis Rishon period. Tanakh is quite clear that Avodah Zarah was Aser, and unfortunately, many Jews gave into it. And Chazal are clear. There was, tragically, the Jews had developed their own idolatrous cultures. Zet Selim Yehudi. A person would say, that's a Jewish Avodah Zarah. Not that that was authentic Torah Judaism, but it was a rampant problem. And Jews had their own stuff. The Moavim had their own Avodah Zarahs, and the Chitim had their own Avodah Zarahs, and tragically, the Jews had their own Avodah Zarahs as well. But that was not authentic Judaism, but that's unfortunate. What many, many at times, it's clear in Tanakh, most Jews, there were times when most Jews were worshiping Avodah Zarah. So at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni period just beginning, the Anshei Knesset go down to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, please take away the Eitzar of Avodah Zarah. And he did. And that explains why, during the Bayis Sheni period, it's gone. The Chazal comment, what came instead, it transmuted and it metamorphosed into an Avodah Zarah for Minos, for Apikursos. So it shifted from being more of an experiential, meditative, worshiping an idol, to a more of an intellectual equivalent of rejecting Ikari Amuna, a theological version, but not the same hands-on. So then they saw they'd been successful with that, so then the Gemara says, they said, hold it, let's keep going. If it worked, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it's worked, if we're fixing, so let's keep fixing. So they said, Edavim Takadosh Baruch Hu, how about the HR for Gilei Arayos? The Gemara says, after a couple of days, there were no eggs being laid by any chickens. Which is either meant literally or not, whether it's meant literally or not, either way, it's conveying the idea that the sexual drive is absolutely critical for life to function. So then they realize that this is not a good idea. So then they dominate the Kadosh Baruch Hu not to take away the Eitzar of Avodah Zarah, but to weaken it. And that covers, that's how the Gemara understands this imagery in Zechariah, that there's this mysterious figure that they managed to contain somewhat. So the Gemara says that's why in the Bayis Rishon period incest seems to have been a much more common taiva, and from Bayis Sheni and on, among normal, healthy, well adapted human beings, incest is not a significant taiva. Gemara says, Eshos Ish and Nizda, those are still common taivas, but Lo Migri Inish Bekrivte, among normal, healthy people, tragically, there are abusive people who do have a taiva for incest, which is horrific. But among normal, healthy people, from the Bayis Sheni period on, the Yitzhar for Krovos is radically, radically reduced, and that, the Gemara says, is rooted in that episode. So that's why the truest of Torah Sirach and later Mefarshim point out, that's what's going on here. It's not a random din. It's not just like a random Zeres HaKasa. There's no Esir Yichud between mother and son. The Tanam understood that drush is giving an example. What it's saying is, there is an Esir Yichud of Arayos, but not in situations where the concern that Yichud will lead to Zonos is severely limited. When the risk of alien to be is very, very slim, because lo migri inish bekrevte, so then it doesn't, then this yichud doesn't apply. So that's why the Tanam understood that's what the Torah is being megala. The Gzeres HaKasev ben imimo is being megala, that it's not an automatic issue yichud in all circumstances. Situations such as mother and son are mutter, are an exception to this, or yichuds. The Tanam said, the same sorrow applies whether it's mother and son, whether it's father and daughter, whether it's grandfather and granddaughter, or grandmother and grandson. And that was the Machlokas Amaram. Do we even apply that, at least partially, to sisters as well? That was the Machlokas Amaram. As we said, we assume that there is a Heter Yichud on a temporary basis between brother and sister as well. There is even a line in the Tosafot Rosh, which is not quoted, as far as I can tell, in later poskim. He seems to even allude to the notion that maybe other blood relatives you could also. He has a line there where it sounds like, well, maybe an aunt, a blood relative aunt, not based on, not one's uncle's wife, but an actual, and not my wife's aunt, but my aunt, my parents' sister. The Tosafot Rosh floats the possibility, maybe there's no Sikh there either, for the same reason. Again, she is an erva, parents and children also, brother and sister also is an erva. So I don't think that was picked up by later poskim. I think we assume the further out you go, the less powerful this dynamic is. So between parents and children, the grandparents and grandchildren, no issue yichud whatsoever. Between the siblings, there's at least for Ashkenazim, there's only a limited issue yichud. This also raises another issue, and then we'll take the question. Raises another issue, which I don't think we touched on last time. This is a very, very significant issue, and needs to be handled when this comes up with incredible wisdom. And that maybe we did touch on a little bit. And that's a case of a blended family. So let's say one has a couple gets married, it's their second marriage, and either they lost spouses or they got divorced, and now they're remarried. And each, so a man and woman get married, and coming into the marriage with children from a previous marriage. So now the question is going to be, so Reuven marries Aliza, Reuven already has a daughter, Aliza already has a son. So you have to figure out those kids, they're not going to function as brother and sister, as father and mother. Or not. Depends on the details of the family. There's a difference with whether there's another biological parent still alive or not, and how involved are they or not. That's going to impact the dynamic here. But between step-parent and step-child, step-father and step-daughter, Reuven married Aliza. So let's say Aliza came in with a daughter. So is there an issue of yichud between Reuven and Aliza's daughter, who may be now functioning? She may call Reuven Abba. He's not biologically her Abba. And how about Reuven's children and Reuven's sons with Aliza's daughters? So Reuven's daughter and Aliza's sons, is there an issue? Would you say this is brother and sister and there's no issue of yichud, only issue of yichud, or not? So that's a very, very... the situation b'chal, it's a difficult shaila, and it's a big machlokes haposkim. The situation b'chal obviously requires a tremendous amount of wise and sensitive counsel to figure out how to... The situations can be thought through carefully and can be set up for maximum emotional success. So the chalali situations require great wisdom and wise counsel, including halachic guidance as well. And this is obviously the shayla that would go to not just poskim, but to gedolei poskim. It's a significant mori hara. There are many poskim assume, there's a big machlokas in the previous generation, whether you say, no, Mr. Yichud, the heter yichud is only when there's a biological connection. If I'll be then, you're not father and daughter, mother and son, brother and sister, then there's no heter. There were those who held that way. There are many who assumed that, no, that it's a psychological reality. Again, the pasuk only said the same logic. The pasuk only said, then, son and mother. So why I know to expand? Because there's a reality, the way they're functioning is such that there's no, if vastly reduced, we see each other as in a type of familiar relationship that puts the chashash of nus off to the side. So that's what many poskim assume, that if this blended family begins when the kids are very little, grow up seeing this person as my father, as my mother, as a brother, as a sister, then many folks can assume that then there is room to assume that there should be no Isser Yichud, there should be no Isser Nagia. Again, these are serious shilos. Every situation has to be thought through carefully, and not just with a posik, but a particularly experienced and particularly wise and sensitive posik. It's a big issue. One last issue in the world of very lemaisa, in the world of the heter of krovim, and then we'll take some questions. And that is, how about, I'm allowed to be alone with my mother, I'm allowed to be alone with my sister, I'm allowed to be alone with my grandma. So how about, I want to go over to grandma, I don't know if we touched on this Erev Thanksgiving, but a Talmud from a number of years ago reminded me that he still remembers, we spoke about Erev Thanksgiving a couple of years ago, that the mitzvah sayom, all kidding aside, the real mitzvah yom for many of us is is kibra ve'im, and specifically kibra ve'im vis-a-vis grandparents. If you have an opportunity to spend time with grandparents, so we should cop that certainly, mitzvah darisa. Whatever, leaving all the banter aside, and the mitzvah yom of Ina Kazayit, let's say before Shia, but the real mitzvah yom is kabe esa vichav esinecho. So I'm going to Grandma Givalda. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's enriching for me. It's nachas for her. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for a wide variety of reasons, smiles upon that. Givalda. I'm going to go to Grandma, and I'm the only grandchild of Grandma. My cousin, my female cousin, is there as well. I will be there for a couple of hours. So does HaKadosh Baruch Hu shep nachas from that? Is that net gain? Is that net loss? I'm alone with, and there's no hati yichud with my female cousin. To be alone with her, that is an esiyichud. My grandma is there. Okay, so I have no esiyichud with grandma, but does that mitigate, does grandma's presence mitigate the esiyichud that I would otherwise have with my female cousin? Ah. So the question is, well, the Mishnah had said that shnei anashim k'sheirim is mutter yishachas, right? That any additional man, he serves as a shomer. Any additional shomeres, shnei nashim ish echad, typically does not solve your problem. But how about, the many posts can say, yeah, but that's because we're worried about the slim chance, but just above the threshold of concern, and maybe they would both be participants in a potential hypothetical act of znus. But there's no issue with my grandmother at all, even alone. So once she's out of the picture, so then you, Misvara, she now should there be no issue with her, but she should serve as a shomer. So Misvara, any woman with whom I have no issue yichud should also serve as a shomer vis-a-vis any other woman who's there. That would make a lot of sense based on, again, what the Gemara said at the beginning, payment base, the whole concern of Shein Hashem v'Ishachad is because of the concern that perhaps there would potentially both be participants. So once I have a woman with whom I have no issue yichud, whether it's because she's related to me or will come over the course of the next couple of shurim to other cases also, bile of the ear and so on and so forth. All things you should have said that anytime there's a woman with whom I have no issue yichud, for whatever reason, not only there's no issue yichud with her, but she should serve as a shomeres for any other women who are present. And it would have made a lot of sense. Achoso imo, bito imo, right? Or imo. My mother is with me. Should have been offhand mutter. The problem is the Mishnah. The problem is the Mishnah that said, Misvara sheimata. On the other hand, Migamara, looking at the sources, the Mishnah says, payment days, Ishto imo is mutter. Bezman she ishto imo, ish echad misachay mishay nashim. Bezman she ishto imo. It sounds like that for your wife. Obviously, the best shomeris of any woman is going to be one's own wife. Even what if even bito imo or choso imo is mutter, so why did Mishnah say ishto imo? Should have told me a bigger kiddush. That bito imo, that imo is mutter. Why did he only say ishto imo? So some achros are dvar alacha quote. There were some achronus that based on that, the only woman who serves the shomeris is one's own wife. But we don't assume that way. The dominant view in Poskim is again, he said misvara, any woman with whom I have no issue yichud ought to serve as a shomeris. What do you do with the Mishnah? If bito imo is mutter, okay, achos to the Mishnah I mentioned achos. But if bito imo is mutter, so why the Mishnah only say ishto imo? What it would be a bigger chiddush to tell me bito imo? So that's what the Poskim answer. I think we have touched this already in the context of Baderech, is that ishto imo we mentioned because there's an added chiddush. Ishto imo is a stronger shomeres. That's the one case where even a sleeping shomer or shomeres counts fully. Ishto imo said yashimah v'pundiki if there's ishto meshamata. Ishto imo is a higher level than any other shomer or shomeres. That one's wife is a shomeres even while she's asleep. Any other case, as we saw already in Pe'alf, is a sleeping shomer, as you saw from the Ravid, is a half a shomer. That'd be true for a sleeping shomeres as well, other than ishto imo. So that's the dominant view in Poskim. Again, halacha lamaisa, the dominant view in Poskim, as Dvar Halacha quotes, is that any woman with whom I have no issur yichud serves as a shomeres as well. So for me to be alone with grandma and with my female cousin, the dominant view posting that is mutter. I've noticed she with grandma, therefore she also serves the shomeres. These would be the other woman who is there. Vito imo, ziknoso imo, achoso imo, all those are assumed to be mutter. Questions?
How do you compare, if there is comparison, proven in this over here versus proven by like Egos, where it seems to be very, there's a lot more examples that are.
That is true. Right. We definitely are not using the same. Definitely not using the same. The same definitions of Krovin, for sure. For sure. Absolutely. Good. Low carbs. How's that? This one is not based on. They come from different sukkim. They come from different gedar. Right. This one comes from Ben Imimo. As he said, whatever any other relative that's comparable to the mother-son relationship is also going to have the same hetter, which is much narrower than the way that the Gemara Sanhedrin derives from other unrelated psukim about the problem. Correct. Yeah.
Is
Osama
also not a dominant view of adoption?
I was going to say.
Oh, so adoption is going to be comparable to the question of blended family.
Is everyone masking? Or no? So everyone's masking by adoption. That
adoption is that issue, right? The husband says that's why if a couple adopts a baby, which is I think the statistically the most common scenario, particularly among from Jews, it's the most common scenario. The most common scenario of adoption within a firm context is usually there are many different people, many different situations, many different sets of needs. But I think one of the most common scenarios is a couple who's unable to, for biological reasons, medical reasons, unable to conceive, so they may seek instead to adopt. That often is done with a non-Jewish baby. Because when it's a Jewish baby, unless you know fully the background, you're often not sure. If you don't know what the background is, you don't have to figure out is this Jewish baby a mamzer or not, because of confidentiality issues, you often don't have access to information. So, you also know, is this baby related? I'm going to raise a Jewish baby related to whom? Maybe it's a relative. Who is he or she going to marry? For all you know, he or she ends up marrying a Karev. So adopting Jewish babies can be done, but it has a lot of complexity. So one of the more common scenarios is to adopt a clearly non-Jewish baby, and you do a ger katan. And then when the child becomes bar bas mitzvah, that's when they complete the kabbal sal mitzvahs. So then it's the katan shenol davi. Al pi halacha, not related to either parent. Pi halacha, not related to any other adoptive siblings. Right, so that's the same issue. It's another variation of the same issue. Postman would say that, again, if you adopt the baby, then there's much more room to assume that there should be no siyichud. Because the entire biologically not related, halachically not related, but psychologically, these are my parents. Absolutely. There's the debate in the psychological community about what's the healthiest age to begin to inform an adopted child that he or she was adopted, but regardless, you're growing up from infancy. This is Ima, that's Abba. So then there's much more room to assume that there's no issue. Okay, next time we will go on to talk about paternity issues. We're going to talk about the bidyevas of Yichud, and then we'll get into some of the very, very lemaisa considerations of bile of the ear, pesach pasuach, open window, open door policies. All of that is on the way.